We're going to start to walk through just a little bit about this Daniel fast and what the leadership of Rockcliffe Pentecostal Church is calling everyone forth. And as I do that, I'm going to dismiss the kids. Kids are dismissed at this time, and that your teachers will meet you in the lobby, and that as you head out. If you want to flip the next slide for me. And that, you know, Larry Miller has served 15 years, and that as our MP, and he has done a phenomenal job standing up for righteousness, standing up for what is right. And so we are in the middle of some elections that are going to be coming up. If you can just click once for me. The Liberal Party, you've got Rod, you've got Michael, and Megan. Sorry, it's a little harder for me to read from here. You've got them, they're running for the Liberal Party. They haven't given us a date yet for their pre-elections. So we'll keep you posted as we find out more about that. And then the Conservative Party is Ken, Rick, Dr. Ann, Brock, Chad, Alex, and Paul. And all of them are running for the potential of one of them being the candidate for that party. And so the Conservative Party has let everyone know that the speeches will take place on April 15th at Eastridge School. And then the pre-election vote will happen on April 22nd from 3 to 8 at Eastridge. You need to be a member of the Liberal Party to vote in the pre-election. You need to be a member of the Conservative Party to vote in the pre-election. But when it comes to the elections in the fall, obviously you don't need to be a member of anyone. You can just vote for whoever you feel that God wants you to vote for. So we're passing this information on because it's been brought to our attention. I don't know about you, but I don't care if it's green, orange, blue, or whatever. I love all the colors. It doesn't really matter to me, but my heart and desire is that we would see a believer in Christ rising up in every area. And that with the standards and the morals and the Word of God hidden in their heart, because we really believe here at Rockcliffe that Jesus works. He works in society. He works in our families. He works in our workplace. Jesus works everywhere. And that He is the answer for everything. And that when we allow Him to shine bright and we allow Him to move into that place, that's when we get to see God move in great ways. Amen? Amen. So I encourage you, search out. Search out the different ones. I know Dr. Ann Gillies has approached us and that she's a believer in Christ, but search out the other ones. Find out who is. Find out what they believe in. Find out where they stand. And that sometimes we just vote based on, well, I don't know, I kind of like that name. That's a nice name. And we really don't know anything about them. But you know what? It's your responsibility as a Canadian. It's your responsibility as a believer in Christ to be aware of the circumstance, be aware of what's taking place, and cast your vote in the way that you feel that God would call you to cast it. Amen? Amen. So I encourage you with that. If you want to flip to the next slide. And that we've been talking about fasting, and we've been sharing a little bit about it. And on that part is when we talked about fast, one of the fasts that we say as a leadership we're going to encourage people to walk in is called the Daniel fast. But in the Bible, there's many different fasts. There's many different ones that are talked about, and there's many different ways you can do it. One is an intermediate fast. And that's basically a cycle fast ranging from 14 to 18 hours. So someone might say, you know what, after 6 p.m. in the evening, from 6 p.m. until 6 a.m., I will not eat anything. Now, for some of us, you might say, wow, that's the easiest one ever because I eat at 5 o'clock and I don't eat any snacks, right? So in that part is though that is a fast that many people walk into and many people do. Another one is the time-restricted fast. And that it's abstained from food anywhere from 12 to 15 hours. It's kind of similar to the other one, but you might spread it over a breakfast or over another time, and you put in those time periods. Another might be the 16 to 8 fasting, where restrict eating for 16 hours, and then you can eat anytime during the next 8 hours. There's an alternate day fast, and that where all of a sudden people will eat one day and fast the next day. After that, you got a 5-2 where they'll eat for 5 days and fast for 2 days. Then there's a warrior diet or fast, and that where you stick to fruits and vegetables during the day and then you eat a well-rounded meal at night. See, there, in other words, what I'm trying to get at here is there is a lot of fasting, a lot of opportunity that you can do. And that to set aside, to tell your body that craves so much, And that wait a minute, you're not in control of me. I'm not going to live by sight. I'm not going to live by feelings. I'm not going to live by cravings in my body. Because the Bible tells us that the lust of the flesh is pretty bad. Right? And that it craves things that we know are destructive to us. In great measures or long length, it's not healthy. Sugar, right? You know, I'm the worst for it. I love sugar. You know, I love a little bit of sweets, a little bit of chocolate. Can I get an amen? Right? You know, I love having a little bit extra salt on certain foods so that it just punches that flavor out. And there, you know, some of us in North America, food has become almost like a god. That we have so cravings that we can't do without. Now, if you ask me, hey, pastor, would you fast coffee with me? I go, yes, because I don't like coffee. I don't drink it, right? That's an easy one. Well, sure, I'll fast with you. But if you ask me to fast something different that I like, I may be, oh, really? Oh, okay, I'm the pastor. I should do this. But, oh, come on. Right? Everyone has a different hitch, have a different crutch. Right? Coffee, for instance, if you try fasting that, you're going to get some headaches at first, right? Has anyone ever tried to go off coffee for a little bit? Right? And now, if you only drink it once in a blue moon, it's not a big deal. But if you're drinking it a lot, your body gets so accustomed to it that you have to. You'll drive out of your way just to get that coffee. You do whatever you can until you get that coffee. Your hair is sticking right out and you get the coffee and all of a sudden you calm right down. Right? Our bodies are craving so many things in this world. And listen to me. It's not that they're bad. But when we come into fasting, it's not like dieting. Okay? Fasting is not dieting. Dieting, you know, is, hey, I'm trying to, you know, get my boyish figure back a little bit and I'm trying to this or I'm trying to that. You know, I'm gonna do this or that so that, you know, I can try and get me to look better. It's all about me. Whereas fasting shifts a whole different thing. Fasting is all about Him. It's about taking the cravings because I know that the flesh and the spirit, they war all the time. That's what the Bible tells us. Inside of you is a battle, right? You know the cartoons? Those little Looney Tune ones and stuff from when I grew up. On this side, the little white angel. This side, the little red devil, demon. And they would be arguing back and forth. You'd turn your head this way. Okay, yeah, I want to do that. And then you'd hear this. Oh, no, no, no. And you had that little cartoon. Well, reality is there is a battle that's happening inside of you. It's not the devil. And that, although he pokes at us and throws stuff, it's your flesh. Right? The Bible says, no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. We're to die to ourselves, die to that fleshly desires, die to that part, and allow Him to lead us. But you know and I know that's not always easy. And that old flesh tries to rise up all the time. It triggers when someone says something to us. And all of a sudden, it links back because there's a memory box up here that we pray divine amnesia over. Erase it, God. But it reminds us of something from our past that we did. And all of a sudden, when someone says something, someone cuts you off, someone just looks at you that way, and it triggers something in your memory bank from before. And so all of a sudden, you're like, you can't do that to me. And something rises up inside of you. And all of a sudden, you make a cast judgment upon someone, although you don't even really know them. Listen to me. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. And there is no one that can offend you. You are choosing to take an offense on. And in that part is, the reason why we do is because there's still some more things that have got a hold of us that God wants us to be free of. Now, whom the Son sets free is? Whom the Son sets free is? And the Bible tells us that we are justified in him just as if we never sinned. When we stand before God, we stand as white as snow. I know you might not like this, but Jesus allowed snow to fall last night so that you would wake up to a white blanket across there. You would see all of the mud that you tramped through yesterday or the day before, and now it's covered in white, and all that dirt and muck and clay is gone because he wants you to understand that's what he does to your life. So you need to stop remembering what happened yesterday. And when yesterday starts to affect your today, you need to stop and say, Jesus, would you go deep and bring a healing in this area? Because I don't know why I'm irritated with my wife or my husband. I don't know why when that person at work and they kind of do this, it gets me going. God, would you now show me whatever it is, because I want to be free. Because you promised who the Son sets free is free indeed. So I'm going to bring that in submission to you right now. And God, would you show me and bring now healing into my heart and my life? Listen to me. This walk with Jesus, we're justified, washed as white as snow. But he talks about a sanctification process. And he says it's just from glory to glory, we keep growing in to be more like him. From glory to glory. Listen to me. And that you can be 97 and still learn things in the Lord. The only time you are old is when you shut this down and think that I don't need it anymore. I've done my stuff and I'm just coasting. Every time you put it in neutral gear, you start to go backwards. You don't go forwards in your spiritual life because there's an enemy pushing on you and you can't afford to go in neutral gear. Too many Christians move into that gear lots in their life because they've had too much of the flesh rise up and they're trying to appease the flesh. You cannot appease the flesh. Here at Rockcliffe, part of why we're moving into a fast is we want to break some of that, because we recognize and understand too, it's really hard to unite our body as one. The Bible tells us, and that God says, I dwell in unity. Now, unity is not that we always agree on everything. Amen? Because that's impossible. It's impossible. And that you might think I should have wore a gray shirt today. Someone else might think I should wear fusion pink, because men can do that. You know, we all have our opinions. And the problem is we live in a society today that is opinionated. But as we come to Christ, no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me, as we come to Christ, and this is his church, it's not your church, it's not mine, it's his. All of a sudden, then, we begin to realize, wait a minute, it's not about our opinion any longer. In fact, Phil Smith's opinion doesn't matter. Your pastor's opinion doesn't matter. What matters is God's opinion. And that's what we're trying to do here as a leadership team, is we're just trying to get out of the way more. Less of Phil, more of him, amen? Less of you, more of him. But we recognize it's really hard to do that sometimes, because there are some that are living in the flesh and there's others that are trying to walk in the spirit, and that becomes a clash. And so this is a way we just want to ground zero, reset all of us again at the foot of the cross, hanging on to the cross, getting us ground zero so that we don't allow our mind and our heart and our likes and our dislikes to rule our life any longer, but we allow Jesus, our King. When there is no King, or when Jesus isn't front and center, three chairs, first chair, then the Bible does tell us that we will do what's right in our own eyes, because then we've become King, and we fight for our rights, right? We fight for what we want, and we're not hearing the heart of God. So when we're coming into this fast and we're walking through this idea, I want to share a little bit, if you flip to the next, that we're talking about a Daniel fast, talking about the possibility of 21 days. That's kind of what Daniel did. He did a 10-day earlier than that in Scripture. But the heart of it isn't just to do a fast, but we are praying for wholeness in our bodies. I'm praying that God is saying there's going to be healing that is going to take place for some people. In fact, I believe one of the spiritual blessings is, as you begin to fast, you can speed up your healing. I'll show you in Scripture. I really believe that. I believe Scripture is everything it says it is and that much more. In the soul. No, the other way. You're going ahead of me. I need a clicker. in the soul. That's your mind, your emotions, and your will, that ability to choose. How many know that's where our battle is? Right? And that our mind, one of our biggest battles is in our mind. That's why the Bible says take captive every thought. That's why bring it into submission to God. Think on things holy, pure, noble, true. Think on such things. Don't think about the other stuff. Now, you might turn around and say, yeah, but if I don't think about it, it's just going to happen. And oh, we need to stop giving credit to the devil. Whose report are you going to believe? Listen, the 12 spies that walked in and they surveyed the land and they came back to tell everyone, those 10 spies that came back did not lie. Were there fortified cities? Yes. Were there giants? Yes. Was it going to be hard? Yes. But they forgot the but God. And then Joshua and Caleb came back and said, yeah, there's fortified cities. Yeah, there's giants. Yeah, there's that. But God is greater than it all. And he is with us, and he has said he's going to give it to us, so there's nothing can stop us. And they were just ready to go. They're like, can we go right now? Let's go. You see, God is wanting you and I, and that to understand that we need to not be so controlled by what we see and what we feel, or by our soul, our mind, emotions, and will, but we really need to be controlled and really need to operate in the Spirit. But you can't do that unless you surrender your heart and you say, okay, Lord, here I am. And too many people have grown up in the faith where they were sold a cheap gospel. They were sold a gospel that, you know, oh, hey, just raise your hand and say a few things and everything's going to be okay. Listen to me. The moment you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to go through a tough go. The enemy's going to come at you. He's going to try to distract you. He's going to try to throw off your marriage. He's going to test you in every place he can. But the Bible says in James chapter 1, you're to consider it pure joy when you go through trials of many kinds, because it's developing you to become more like Christ. Listen to me. Your purpose in life is not to get to heaven. That's just a given. If you love Jesus, there's nowhere else you can go but heaven. There's no plan B or anything else. But your purpose as a believer in Christ is to die to yourself and to become more like Christ. When you look in the mirror, who do you see? If you're seeing too much of yourself, then you need to go back on your knees and say, God, help me in this. You should see him. God, I want to see you more. I shared last week in conversations with one of our members, and they just shared, you know, as I was sharing about the fasting, it's caught their heart. They grabbed a hold of it, and they said, listen, I'm tired of telling people when they say, how are you and God doing? Oh, we're good. We're good. He says, I'm tired of saying that. I want to be able to say, we're doing great. I'm hearing from him. I'm moving with him. Same person determined in their heart. Same person, determined in their heart, hey, I'm going to do this fast because I want to be great with God. Haven't even started the fast because it starts tomorrow. And yesterday, out of the blue, is in a store. God says, stop and pray for something. God says, stop and do something. And all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, this is really out of the ordinary. Listen to me. If you will draw close to him, he will draw close to you. And it's time for you and I to be back into the wow. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. These are not just catchphrases. They're not just things to make us feel better, but they're for us to rise into a place and be the bride of Christ, to be his army, to be that place so that we can bring light and life everywhere that we go. So if you're flipped to the next one, Dave. Our leadership team here at RPC would like to invite you to join us on a 21-day Daniel fast. From April 1st to the 21st. This is leading up to Easter. Leading us up to the greatest moment in history. Not because Jesus died on a cross. The devil thought there was a victory there. But how many know the devil doesn't know everything? And all of a sudden he's gloating. Look at this. I got Jesus. I killed him. Ah, and then Jesus, he went to death, to hell, and he took the keys of death and hell, and he says, you know what? There's no more hold. It all backfired on the devil. Jesus is victorious, and now you and I now can be victorious because he says, I overcame the world, so now you can because I live inside of you. There's nothing you face that you don't have to be able, that you cannot step up above or you cannot walk through because greater is he that is in you. You know, these things that God is challenging us to and that we really want to believe and move into. We want to be his church. We don't want to go to church. We want to be the church. The church is not a building. It's you and it's me. So when you say, oh, the church is boring, then really you're saying you're boring. When you say, oh, the church is doing nothing, you're really saying you're doing nothing. Because you're the church. I'm the church. Amen? And it's time for us to change the way we talk and change the way we move and say, you know what? Hey, I'm going to awaken. I'm going to rise up. There's healing in my hands. I need to go pray for someone. The Holy Spirit's inside of me. I need to give words of wisdom. Man, someone's listening to death all the time. They need some love in them. I'm going to be that one. I'm going to go give that. Holy Spirit, lead me. Who is it going to be? Who do you want me to go to? Oh, God, will you activate all of us? For those that maybe need a little more time to prepare or maybe feel like, man, I've never done something like this. That 21 days is like, that's radical and that's too big. And that then join us on April 12th to 21st with a 10-day fast, Daniel fast, and take some time. So with the Daniel fast, I'll share a little more of this. So just give me some time as I break this through. So really, what is it? It's fasting food according to the Daniel fast and consider fasting media and entertainment. Now, will you find that in the Bible? No, because they didn't have any TV, right? And then not too long ago, it was only black and white. How many are so glad we got color TV now, right? But in the society we live, TV is a god. Oh, I'm frustrated. Oh, I don't have enough time. Kids are, oh, throw them in front of a tube. Right? Point all fingers here. Oh, I'm tired. I've done a lot. I'm talking to people. I'm doing this. I just go home. I just want a time just to shut down and veg. Turn on the tube. Right? It's our comfort. It's our babysitter. It's our way we have secret lives. Where we watch shows and we watch things that burn passions in us or do other things or that adventure side of us that we never live in adventure, but we watch adventure movies all the time. We love them. Why? Because you were created for an adventure. This life is not dull or boring. You were created to be on an adventure with him. Don't live your life through someone else or something else, but live your life the way he asked you to. And I'm telling you now, you will never live one day that will be boring ever again. Because I've got plans for you, declares the Lord, to give you hope and a future. In fact, I know everything for you. And if you just follow me, it's a great plan. It's full of joy. It's full of, even in pain, you're going to find this peace that goes beyond understanding. I will be with you always. There are two primary scriptures related to the Daniel fast. In Daniel 10:3, we learn that Daniel ate no meat or tasty foods and drank no wine. In Daniel 1:12, we see that he ate only vegetables and drank only water. The word that is translated as vegetables in the New King James is translated as pulse. Or in the King James, it comes from the Hebrew zeroa, which means that which grows from seed. Which includes vegetables, fruits, whole grains, peas and beans, nuts, seeds, tofu, herbs, all of that kind of that rabbit food, you know, that type of stuff, you know. We are like, oh, I'm a carnivore. I love meat, you know. I just steak, you know. But in that part, as you see, a nice little colorful fold out here. Breaking down, and that in the green, all the things that we will eat. And then the orange of things that we'll try to not eat. Now listen to me. This fast has multiple benefits and blessings to it. One of the benefits is on the physical side. How many times has God said to you, talking to me too, hey, I want you to go do this. I'm too tired. Listen to me. What you put in your body affects your body. Your body is the temple of the Lord. And God is just wanting us to get in a better rhythm. He's wanting us to get into a better place. Our mind, he wants to clear it up from being foggy, lethargic. Our body, it's lethargic. He wants that to be cleared up so we can be ready in season and out of season to accomplish and to do whatever he asks us to do. To fast media on that part, and that only use the internet for work-related purposes, or to engage in entertainment that is overtly biblical. So Bible stories, life of Jesus, other things like that. Right now, media, if you don't have it, please just give us an email before you leave. Write it on a piece of paper, slide it under Kim's door, put your name on it, and we will send you an email that will give you a resource base for 10,000 different studies that will help you from finances to marriage, to raising kids, to being a man, being a woman, to the studies of the Word of God and breaking down Bible studies, to all kids' videos and that idea. Lots of different opportunities to make that connection. And that as we find lots of ways that we want to set aside regular activities as much as possible over these 21 days, and that just to be before the Lord. It's a personal encounter with the Lord that we're looking for. I'll be honest with you, as a pastor, I've been hearing a lot lately. I haven't heard from God for a long time. God doesn't speak to me anymore. Listen to me, can I be as bold to say something here? The problem is not God. And if the problem's not God, then who's the problem? Oh, no one's bold on this one. I will be the bold. I'll be bold then. You and I are the problem. God is not the problem. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The problem is our lives are so cluttered. Our lives are so distracted. We've embraced too many lies and too many other things that the enemy now has slid in to make us feel that we can be comfortable where we're at. Please never be comfortable. We should never be comfortable in the presence of God. And I don't mean that in any bad way, but in the fact that God's constantly saying, hey, there's more to you. Hey, there's more to me. Why don't you come on in? Let's go a little deeper as we grow in him. He as he does his work in us, he works also through us. So this isn't just about, oh God, I want to be closer to you and you closer to me. I want to feel your embrace and I want to feel good like John laid his head upon your breast, Jesus, and he heard your heartbeat. That's the kind of stuff I want, that feeling and that I want to feel you. It's more than that. God actually wants to work through you. He wants to work through you. We are fasting to personally encounter God in his love for renewal in our spiritual life, but we're also fasting for his kingdom purposes, so that he might increase. Now, if you flip to the next one more. And that fasting is voluntary. As leaders, God put in our heart to call a fast, and that a wide fast across Rockcliffe, encouraging from young kids. My daughter's going to participate, and that my other son and daughter are kind of struggling with the idea, no steak and that idea. But in that part is we are going to attempt to help make a connection with them. So let me pause on this to say this. I would rather someone say, you know what, I've never done this before. I did it before. It was a bad experience. Man, I was guilty the whole time. I felt this, and I didn't know what to do. I would rather you turn around and determine in your heart, hey, and that maybe I can't do this, but I am going to fast. I'm going to fast maybe every second day, like I talked about those different types of fast. Or maybe I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to make my darndest attempt at this. But I'm going to have one day a week where I'm going to be able to eat whatever I want. Because some of us have different schedules and stuff. There's different appointments and other things you got to do. And you're on the road. It's a little hard maybe to eat Daniel Fast way or whatever it might be. So everyone, it might look a little different. And I'm okay with that. But I really challenge and encourage that every single person can do something. I don't want anyone left behind. I don't want anyone missing out, and that we're all praying for God's glory to fall. We're all playing for God. Just reveal yourself in great measure. Oh, God, God, would you just do so? Oh, God, it would be so cool. But the problem is, as his glory increases, where there's sin in the camp, it doesn't work so well. And so all of a sudden, as God increases his glory and his presence, the searchlight of God, Psalm says, gets brighter and brighter out there, and there's no place for us to hide. And some of those sin and some of the things in our lives that we think that we're hidden, all of a sudden they come out, and then the enemy uses that because then he says, oh, now everyone knows, and now no one's going to like you. Listen, all of us have got mud. All of us have got stuff that God is working out. So don't point any fingers, but just know, as we increase the presence of God, it's going to make me feel a little more uncomfortable if you do not want to jump on board. If you want to stay in the flesh, it's going to be more uncomfortable as we have God's presence raised. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? And the more God increases, the more we've got to decrease. God, I want more of you. Well, the way to get more of God is to give more of you up. God, you can have this area. I know it's been a no-go area, and that was me, my little me box, but I'm going to give you that now. I'm going to let you have control of that. I'm going to trust you. So many of us have a wrong picture of who our Father in heaven is, and we're so afraid that if I let him in, he's going to be the killjoy. He'll just rob everything out of me. Listen, this is not legalism or religious stuff. That stuff is a stench in God's nostril. That's why, Pastor Phil, I don't have a problem having a barbecue with holy cows. It doesn't faze me at all. Why? Because I know it's a stench in God's nostril. And so I don't have a problem if God says, step here, and it's like, oh man, it might hurt someone, or someone might not like, I have no problem stepping here. Why? Because I know that it's not healthy for you and me. And if I don't take that step, or I don't share it, I don't move us as a body in it, then all I'm doing is hurting everyone and keeping everyone stuck. As much as I love people and I want people to like me, I'm not here to be liked. I'm here to hear from God, to lead us in together as a body of Christ, so that we together can experience him like never before. I'm tired of hearing the stories. I'm tired of speaking the stories of my life from 10 or 20 years ago. I want to live them today. I don't know about you, but I want to see revival. I want to walk and breathe it. I want to move in it. I want to see God move in such a way that people all over, and that God is just moving, or ambulances would stop and all of a sudden the person would get out and they'd be totally healed because that ambulance driver is a believer in Christ and they lay hands on him and they see him healed. The emergency rooms are just empty, and that so there's no more triple overtime for our nurses and doctors so they can actually have family time again. That our police officers aren't running ragged all the time, but they actually can have family time again. Do you know what? And that in the police force, and that they'll share very clearly that it's really hard to be married. Why? Because the demands are so high and so heavy, not just on time and energy, but the trauma and the things that they face all the time, that it's incredibly hard for them in their family and their marriage. I don't know about you, but we need to help cut them some slack. And the best way that I can cut them some slack is begin to pray for them and lift them up. Lift them up out of the miry clay. And then as we cast a light and allow Jesus to be stronger in us, and that then all of a sudden we can begin to speak into the lives of people that are broken, and that God can pick up their pieces and they can become whole. God wants to revive. God wants to move in a greater way. If you have a health problem, it's in red, so it's flashing, okay? If you have a health problem or you're pregnant, we encourage you first to talk to your doctor before you ever do a fast of food or water or any of that type of stuff. Please talk to your doctor first. And that some people, you just can't because of your sugar levels. You can't because of other things. So in that part is you're going to have to get creative and find other things and stuff that you can do, okay? So the purpose of a fast, according to Isaiah 58, you can open it up and you can read through there. I'm not going to read just because of time. Number one is to loose the bonds of wickedness. First in me, then in this body. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, I not only will hear them, but I'll heal their land. Listen, when Jesus died, the veil was torn. The heavens are open. They're not closed over you. All heaven is opened over top of you. The problem is, you're the gatekeeper. And of your heart, will you fling wide your heavenly gates? Will you fling wide your heart to God and say, God, here I am. I lay bare before you. You can have all of me. Or you just kind of creak a door open, or do you crack only one side, or are you going to allow it to be open? One, loose the bonds of wickedness. Number two, to undo heavy burdens. I don't know about you, but mental illness is rampaging today. I don't know if it's chemicals and stuff we're eating or other things, but it just seems to be on a major increase. And in our young people, in that because they hear this buzzword and they hear this and they hear that, and then they're told this and then they're told that, and they're trying to get up and they're trying to do their stuff, and they're getting so overwhelmed by depression, so overwhelmed and that by the enemy that's put a wet blanket over them. And listen to me, do you know why? It's because the church of God is not rising to our place. We're not being the church. We're not praying it through. We're not pressing in for our community. And that we've kind of tightened our circle down around ourselves. Some of us have tightened it a little more, just our own family, and some have tightened it down as just themselves. And God says it's time to fling wide open again, and we need to start praying over the things that are happening in our community, as if we know that prayer actually changes things, that we rise with confidence. Just the faith of a mustard seed can move a mountain. So, number one, loose the bonds of wickedness. Number two, undo heavy burdens. Number three, to help the oppressed go free. That's what a fast is all about. So listen to me. It's not just about me. It's not just about me and God so I can feel him a little better and hear from him, but he wants you to participate with him. Not only oppressed go free, but number four is to give bread to the hungry. All of a sudden that we fast, we're coming down, we're moving and shifting things in our life that should release us a little bit more so that when we see someone hungry, we can actually do something about it. But some of us, we're so pinched right to the cent and the dollar in our paychecks that we don't have any room. And it's time we got to get that back in control. Number five, to receive the light of revelation of God's word. God wants to bring the light and he wants it to come alive as we read the word of God again. And that's what fasting helps us do. It resets us. For emotional and physical health, and for righteousness to break forth. The purpose of that biblical fast is to set aside food and time to draw close to Jesus and to contend for a breakthrough for his kingdom purposes. Fasting is to be first and foremost about pursuing spiritual goals. So during the fast, we give more time to prayer, and more time to his word. More time to listening to him. Who do you want me to go to? What do you want me to do, Lord? And that we just clear the air of some things so that we can focus in on him. The God factor. God's power in your life. I want to talk a little bit about that. The power of faith. What is it? It is people who are not afraid to trust God completely. That is what I call the faith factor. God blesses people who are not afraid to trust him completely. Trust, lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. There always is a way through, a way over, a way under. There's a way to go by it if you will just trust him. Don't lean on your understanding, but acknowledge him, and he will make the path straight. The Bible tells that there is a direct connection between faith and power. Matthew 13:58, Jesus did not do many miracles of power in his hometown because of their lack of faith. Or in Romans 4:20, Abraham's faith did not leave him, and he did not doubt God's promise. Instead, his faith filled him with power. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. So how does God's power work? Philippians 4:12-13. Just give me a second on that. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in the presence, in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purposes. God is longing to be first in our lives again. So how does God's power work in us? Number one, God uses his word to change us. When we read the word of God that says, don't be just a hearer of it, but put it into practice. In other words, bend your life, bend your circumstances to the word of God and watch what God will do. He can do everything he said he could do and so much more. Not only in that God uses his word to change us, but he uses his spirit, Holy Spirit, to change us. Holy Spirit is constantly speaking. He's a great teacher, a director, a leader, a trainer, a helper, coming alongside. And if we just pause and ask him, he'll help us. God also uses our circumstances to change us. And that's how he works and he changes and he moves in us. But behind this power is God's love. And that Ephesians chapter 3 and that 17 and 19 helps us with that and breaks it down that number one, God's love is wide enough to be everywheres. No matter where you go, no matter what you're doing, and that if you find yourself in a place and it's not really healthy or it's not really good or it's like, oh, I don't really feel comfortable, God's love is wide enough to be there at that moment so that you can be a light and he can help you either to be strong enough to say, you know what, hey, I just don't feel comfortable right now. I need to leave. And you can leave that circumstance or that love will be there with you wherever you are and he'll give you the confidence to stand up and say, you know what, guys, I don't know if this is really good. I don't know if this conversation is the right one. I don't know if this action, hey, you know what? There's a better way. Can I share that? His name's Jesus. See, God's with you and he'll give you stuff to say and move every time. He'll never fail you. He'll never leave you on the lurch as we allow it. God's love, number two, is long enough to last forever. His love never runs dry. Can I get a big amen on that? Number three, God's love is deep enough to handle anything. Anything, big or small, you're going through, God's love is big enough to handle it. Amen? And number four, God's love is high enough to look past my sins. Thank you, God. I don't deserve to be a pastor. I don't deserve to open up his word. I don't deserve to be called a Christian. None of us do. But his love is so big and so great and so powerful. He overlooks my shortcomings. Even when I'm not quite there to ask for forgiveness yet. He overlooks them. He sees them. He knows. And it hurts him. It's not the right thing. But at the end of the day, his love is so powerful. He looks over top and he says, hey, that's still my boy. That's still my boy. That's still my daughter. I love you. He is so for you. He is not against you. Oh, God, renew our minds right now. Ephesians 1:18-20 says, I ask that your minds may be open to see his light. So that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. How rich are the wonderful blessings he promises his people. And how great is his power at work in us who believe. This power working in us is the same as the mighty strength which he used when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the heavenly right hand side of the Father. Same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. So number one, faith is choosing and believing God's dream for your life. You were born for a purpose. You're set apart for a purpose. And you are living where you're living right now on purpose. And if we don't understand that, we're just going to go through the motions and we're just going to kind of be frustrated all the time or we're going to get distracted all the time. But we've got to first and foremost realize faith is choosing to believe, hey, I'm here on purpose. There's a reason why I'm here, and God's got a bigger plan for it. It's got to be more than just getting up in the morning, getting some coffee, rushing around, getting everything done, getting to work, coming home, doing the things, weeding the garden in the summer, shoveling in the winter, going to bed, getting up, and doing it again. God just didn't put us on the earth for that. Didn't save us for that. So first, dreamers need to dare to ask. Ephesians 3:20, God, by his mighty power at work within us, is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or dream, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, our highest desires, our highest thoughts, and our highest hopes. God wants to do so much more. Second, and that you need to believe God's promises. Not only dare to dream and ask again, God, there's got to be more. Do you have something more for me today, God? but you need to believe God's promises. The Bible says, I am the Lord, the God of all people of the world. Is anything too hard for me? Is anything too hard for him? Not at all. We need to believe that, and we need to come asking it. Third, you need to dream big. God says, ask of me. There's that word, ask again. And I will make the nations your inheritance and the ends of the earth your possession. Psalms chapter 2, verse 8. God is wanting you and I to participate with him. We are not spectators in this. We are game changers. We're change agents. We are part of his plan to bring his kingdom to earth. Amen? Three parts of a dream. The first part is that he gives you is the what. He gives you the what. The second part he gives you is the how. And the third is the when. So listen to me. When God puts a dream in your heart, don't just get excited and just run off and just kind of do whatever. So many people mess up things on that. You need to wait on him. You need to find out, God, okay, now I know you want me to move this way. Okay, that's the what I need to do, but how do I do it, God? Show me the right steps, the right movement, so that I can move and navigate through every fiery dart that comes. None of them are going to hit me. I'm going to make it through. I'm going to see it fulfilled. I'm going to see what you said, because your promises are true. And if you spoke it, it will happen. And then the most important one is the timing, the when. Too many times I've heard people say, oh, God put it in my heart, I'm to do this. God put it in my heart, I'm to do this. And they get running off and they fall flat on their face. And then they turn around and they get so upset with God that they don't dare to risk again to ask him, God, what do you have for me? Because they got too excited. They got too excited. They forgot to pause and ask him. When God starts to speak into your life, sometimes he drops the whole package, but that's fairly rare. Most times he takes you to the first step, and the first step is the what, the second step is the how, and the last step is the when. So not only is faith choosing and believing God's dream for your life, but faith is being willing to risk failure. They risk their lives for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if good people fall seven times, they will get back up again. Hey, well, the enemy tries to slay me. Can't stop me. He can do everything he can, but he can't stop me, because greater is he that is in me. We got to start believing that again. We got to start believing and willing to risk failure, risk what people are going to think when all of a sudden I feel God says, go over and pray for this person. I go over to pray for him and it doesn't seem like anything happens. It's okay. I'm just trying to be faithful. I'm just trying to do what he asked me to do. And if he asked me to go, I'm going to go. And if it didn't turn the way I thought it was going to turn, it's okay. It's not going to stop me from saying, God, what do you got next? Oh, go over here. I'm going to go do it again. We're so oriented in victory or defeat. We measure everything so wrong compared to how God measures it. He measures it in obedience. He measures it in the attitude of the heart. We measure it in circumstances and happenings and the things around us. Faith, number three, is never giving up. Be brave, be strong, don't give up, Psalms 31 says. Galatians 6 says, let us not grow tired or weary of doing good or what is right. For after a while, and that there's a time delay there, notice, and that we will reap a harvest, a blessing, if we don't get discouraged and give up. I need to ask the question, God, what can I do today that will require faith? Some of us are living lives that don't require any faith at all. We got so sidetracked. We're just coasting. But God's wanting to revive you and say, you're not finished yet. He's still got things to do in you. Five rewards of fasting. Number one, fasting tenderizes your heart so that you can feel God's presence more. If you're here today and you haven't been sensing God's presence for a while, God wants to tenderize your heart. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am. Oh, come on, now we can do better than that. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am. I'm there. He's present. Is there two people here? Is there one more person that loves Jesus other than me today? So is God here? So if you're here today and you're not sensing his presence, join us for this fast. God wants to tenderize your heart so that you can feel his presence and sense him again. That when he walks in the room, everything changes and you're going to know it. You're going to see it. Number two, a reward of fasting. Fasting changes our desires and enlarges our desire for righteousness. A desire for cravings for certain things. All of a sudden, when we begin to fast and be before the Lord, he starts to release us from some of the things, the covetousness. And that and the greed or other thing, he frees us from materialism and all those type of things when we come before him. Number three, fasting increases our understanding of the word, and we begin to receive prophetic dreams. God wants to speak into your life things that you don't know. Things that you don't know, only he knows, and he wants to whisper them in you. He wants you to come alive. He wants you to know that when you have a problem, he's your solution. You've got to go find someone bigger and better in the faith so that they can maybe help you bail out. But greater is he that is in you, and you can hear him and you can rise to that place and say, okay, God, I need a word from you. God, what is that word? And you can wait on him and he will deposit something inside of you. Number four, fasting makes your body healthier and changes what you desire to eat and drink. All of a sudden, those cravings no longer own you, but you own it. So if you want to have that sugar, you can have it, but you can choose not to. You want to have a coffee, you can have a coffee, but you can choose not to. But when all of a sudden you can't choose because your body works against it, you know that there's a problem there. And God is just saying, let's get that under control again. Let's put that in the proper place. And number five of the fifth reward of fasting, fasting strengthens our sense of identity as sons and daughters of God. We are adopted. It gives us that sense of strength in our identity of who he is. So let me finish in saying, God is really wanting to shift some things in your life and mine. Strategically, he has been leading us from moment, from glory to glory, to, I believe, and the leadership of Rockcliffe believes, to this moment. To this moment. It's a very strategic moment. And so again, I want to express our heart's desire we are sharing for the next 21 days. Would you join in with us? In your bulletin, you did receive a large packet, so please don't even try to flip through it now. But it shares just a little bit of the heartbeat at the very first, and then it's just full of recipes. But on that part is there is 10,987 recipes. I read them all. No, I didn't. And that on the internet around the Down Your Fast. And in that part is really, in all honesty, is not that hard. Don't let the enemy put in your head that this is really hard. So we would encourage you, come on board with us. Join with us for that 21 days. If you're here, let me say flashing red lights again. You're pregnant. You're breastfeeding. You have physical problems in your body right now. Please talk to your doctor before you decide to do certain things. Have a conversation with them. So then you can make sure that, okay, I can't maybe do this and this, but what can I do? Okay, I'll do these things, and that's what we'll do. The New Testament puts it this way, in that it's talking about giving towards the Lord, and that idea says, determine in what your heart you're going to do, and then do that. In other words, what we're trying to say to you is, 21 days scares the socks right off of you, and you're like, man, I don't know. Why don't you start and just ask God to lead you? And if all of a sudden you have to take a day that just because of circumstances or whatever, and you go to eat and you eat whatever you want, it's okay. Don't let guilt and shame come on you. And that, just decide in your heart what you're going to do. And if it's 3 days a week you can fast and join each week, so 3 days each week, that would be 9 days, join in with that. And that if you saying, you know, man, I don't know if I could cut out the one thing on there is dairy. Maybe you just love milk. I don't think I can cut that out. You know, listen, when we fast, it is about sacrifice. It is about putting things into proper order. It is about coming into that place. But it's a victory if you can recognize something is too big of a hold on you. I can't give up that. And you recognize that, even if you aren't able to do it, that's already a good step in the right direction. Do you hear what I'm saying here? I don't want someone turning around. I don't want anyone feeling, you know, 4 days in, oh, I can't believe it. Oh, that pastor. Oh, you know. Why? Because with God, it's not about the outside. It's not about no sugar. It's about your heart and the attitude of it. So let me finish with this. I'm going to be very bold. Every move of God. Our early 90s, when the presence of God was flowing in the place like milk and honey, at least that's what we keep telling ourselves, even though they had problems back then too. Because why? How do I know that? Because people were there. But in that part is, in our personal lives, when we saw God move, and there was times when you could smell his fragrance. It wasn't because you decided, I'm not eating sugar. It wasn't because you decided, I'm not going to the movie theater. It wasn't because you decided, I'm only going to sing this or I'm not singing this. It wasn't because you decided and that to wake up at 6 a.m. It wasn't that external act. It was because people in their heart was willing to sacrifice something just to get closer to God. I'm willing to sacrifice a desire of my heart or something I might have a right to do. I'm gonna sacrifice that because I want you more. Draw close to him, and he will draw close to you. Will you journey with your leadership team to sacrifice something? Whether it is this Daniel fast and joining with us, or whether it's something else, would you position your heart with an attitude with all of us? Because he says, I dwell in unity. Would you position your heart in such a way, determine in your heart what you can do? If you're married, talk to your spouse. That's probably a good idea. And that if you've got kids, have a conversation with the kids. And that in that part is, and maybe, you know, again, it's voluntary. Don't force it on them. And that everyone, you know, it's going to this. And if you don't do this, because then all you're going to do is twist their heart. You're going to turn their heart. You're going to make it go harder. But encourage them the same way. You know what? Let's find something then. What can it be? Maybe it's that Frosted Flake cereals in the morning. It's got a little bit too much sugar anyways. But find something. Determine your heart. Can we all move with an attitude for the next 21 days as we're lining up for Easter weekend? That we'll be willing to sacrifice something just to draw closer to him. Sacrifice something just to be made ready in this season to be able to reach and to shine so that all men might see the good deeds and glorify the Lord. Heavenly Father, I just come before you and I thank you, God, for what you're speaking in your life. I thank you, God, when you ask things of us, it's not always easy. If it was easy, everyone would do it. Because doing anything you ask us to do has always got benefits. But Lord, we know it's not easy because everything inside of me screams something different because I'm wanting chocolate cake. I'm already thinking, God, of things, oh man, maybe I should go have a steak today before tomorrow starts and I have one last kick of the can. God, my mind and my body, they just start speaking and yelling at me. God, I don't want it being the loudest voice anymore. I don't want it to be the biggest drawing card anymore. I want you to be it. I really want to hear your still small voice. But it's really hard in an echoing of a big, loud world that I live in. And so, Lord, I just want to kind of make things a little bit better in perspective. And I want you to be first in my life. So, Lord, as we journey this together, through ups, through downs, through times we kind of fall short, to other times we succeed. God, Lord, I thank you, God. Your love knows no bounds. And you're going to journey it with us every step of the way. So God, I give you thanks, I give you glory, and I give you honor. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Amen. So I really encourage you, if you'd like to join us with that, that means coming up to our Fusion Night, which is on our Wednesday coming up. It's our family night. Great opportunity to dig in together. We are going to provide some Daniel Fast options and that during that time of food, and we'll provide some other options and that for those that maybe are choosing different things, but that we can partner together and we can walk together. Also, on Thursdays, so the next three Thursdays, my wife and I have decided that we will bring our food here to the kitchen at the church, and anyone that would like to join us and to try out a new recipe for the Daniel Fast or just have some fellowship and encouragement to talk a little bit about the Lord, and you want to join us, then at 6 o'clock on Thursday night to probably stay until about 7:30, 8 o'clock, because we got to cook and that idea. Between 6 and 8 o'clock, if you'd like to just come by and you'd like to bring some of your ingredients and try to make something together and we can join in and kind of put a mishmash of different stuff, then I encourage you, if you need that extra encouragement during the week, that extra part of a coach to help push you through and encourage you, then you can join my wife from 6 to 8 o'clock every Thursday night for the next 3 weeks here in the kitchen, and then we'll have a time of fellowship together. And that you're not alone. We are better. And so if you're really having a tough time, make a call. Say, hey, Cecilia, I don't know what I'm doing here, and I got nothing in my fridge. Do you got anything I can come over and we can eat together here? You know, or it's like, man, I don't know what to cook. I don't even have internet. That's okay. Call someone that's got internet. Say, hey, you got internet? You gonna, you know, make something? Hey, I'd like to do this, but I don't know what to do. Make it easy on yourself, because two are better than one. Pity on the one that has no one to pick them up. That's what the Word of God says. We are better together. God bless you. We love you lots.